We're coming to this portion of God that we read together, of God's Word in John's Gospel, chapter 10. Let's bow together just in a word of prayer, please, as we come to God's Word. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that we have God's precious Word before us today. We thank Thee for the freedom that we have and have enjoyed down the years of being able to read and meditate and preach Thy Word. And Lord, we pray this morning for those in other countries who have not this privilege today. Some are in prison. Some, Lord, are underground trying to worship Thee. And yet the authorities are hounding them. And Lord, we thank Thee for this privilege that is ours. And we ask Thee now that You will write Thy Word upon each one of our hearts. And that You will bless us. Cleanse my heart afresh of the precious blood. Fill me afresh, O God, with Thy Holy Spirit, and enable me to preach Thy Word, for we ask it in Jesus' precious and lovely name. Amen. Amen. We want this morning, for the time that remains, to speak upon walking with God. Walking with God. My sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. In this verse, we have the basis of God's so great salvation. We have the mark on the ear. Hear my voice. Hearing Jesus. And the mark on the feet. Follow me. Following Jesus, hearing the Lord Jesus, and following the Lord Jesus. The mark on the ear comes when we hear the call of God to repentance and cleansing in the precious blood of Jesus. Known by the shepherd, the mark on the feet comes after salvation, the new birth, and reception into the fold. We begin to follow Jesus. Now I want you to note, and they follow Jesus. They follow me. It's not an option for the believer to follow or not to follow. It is a command of God that each one that is saved by God's grace follow the Lord Jesus Christ. The evidence of the mark on the ear is the desire to follow Jesus and to obey His commandments. In John 14 and the verse 15, if ye love me, keep my commandments. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ said. If we love Him, we will want to keep His commandments. The world has no interest in keeping the commandments of the Lord. They do whatever they think, whatever they feel, whatever they think is right. But we as believers this morning, saved by God's grace, Jesus said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. The believer has been regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit. He has been transformed into a new creature. From being spiritually dead into a saint alive unto the things of God. Having then cleared the basics of salvation and stepped out on the road to heaven, following Jesus becomes a way of life. It becomes a walking with God every day. Not just some days. Not just on the Sabbath day. Not just when it suits us, but our daily walk with God becomes the center theme in our life. Now, it's not easy to follow Jesus day by day. The devil is set against the follower of Jesus. The flesh, our old nature, opposes the new nature implanted by the Holy Spirit. We're a new creature created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Matthew 7:20, by their fruits ye shall know them. Galatians 5:17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. And the Bible becomes our roadmap. It becomes our guide to living the Christian life. And the Bible must be our only guide. Not what we think or believe to be right, but what does the Bible say? What does God's Word say? What does God teach you and I about walking with God? Today, all we hear of in some Christians is simply, I have a right. I can do this, I can do that, I can go here. I believe. Well, my friend, you have no rights if you're saved by God's grace. The only right that a Christian has is according to the Scriptures. What do the Scriptures teach? Then we know how to live and walk with God. What saith the Bible? The day we live in is an age of every man for themselves, and the Word of God is either ignored or twisted to what they want to say. In Matthew 22:29, Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God. And we must always follow the instruction found in the Bible and reject the opinions of men when they are contrary to the Word of the living God. Now that, of course, goes against the grain of a human person. And human nature rebels because human nature is centered upon the individual. I. But when we come to Christianity and we come to salvation in Christ, it is what doth the Scriptures teach. The Bible gives us a record of how many of the saints of God in past coped with the life of a Christian. Gives us the pitfalls as well as the blessings so that we can learn from them and avoid their sins and the consequences thereof. But I want us this morning to look at some of these men of God and learn not to repeat their mistakes and also learn of others and their victory over sin. And let us realize this morning that reputation is not character. You see, reputation is what our neighbors and our friends and those in the church think of us. And if we don't live right before them, then we lose our reputation. But the character is the real man or the real woman. You can have a husband that is well thought of in the church, and at home he beats his wife. You say that wouldn't happen in a Christian? Don't you believe it? Because I know it. Let me tell you, there are things done behind closed doors. And if the people knew what was going on, the character of the person, that's the true character. But reputation is important, and character is even more important. And we want to look at these men. You see, how was your walk and my walk in 2012? We have come almost to the end of this year. And we look back. And we look back over the year and we analyze how was our walk with God. And we need to take stock. The first one that we want to look at this morning is Lot and his walk with God. In Genesis chapters 13 through to 19, we read there of Lot, and Lot started out well. He had a godly uncle in Abraham, and he went with Abraham from his own family and friends towards the land of promise. He started out well. He was living in a godly family of Abraham under his protection and his safety. His uncle was a rich and powerful man, yet one who feared God. Abraham heard the call of God and he began to walk with God and follow the directions that he received from God. And Genesis 12:1, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and thy name is great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And Lot also followed his uncle as he set out to follow God. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. He started out well. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And the scripture, of course, teaches us in 2 Peter 2:7, and delivered just Lot. He was a just man, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Lot was one who started out well, yet he took his eyes off the Lord, and the temptation of worldly possessions marred his choice and led him down into Sodom. In Genesis 13, we read there, and Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right, or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld the plains of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed eastward, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Here was a young man, and he was given a choice, and he didn't say to old Abram, you choose. You've blessed me, and I have been blessed through you. You change. You choose. But no, he looked and he saw, and he made his choice. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain. And he pitched his tent towards Sodom. Now I'm quite sure that Lot, when he chose the plains of Jordan, he never intended to live in Sodom. He just wanted to make more money, to have more possessions. And yet it was this bad choice that started him on the road to ruin. It led him to live among the abominations of Sodom and among the Sodomites. How the lust of the flesh and the temptation of the devil will lead us step by step away from the ways of God and even make us to accept that which God abhors and hates. Little by little, how many down the years have once been bright for God and today are backslidden in heart and life? And they're now condoning and doing things that the world condemns? If you and I today apply the Bible-taught Christian standards, and I'm saying Bible-taught Christian standards, not man-made standards, because there's plenty of people have man-made standards, but Bible standards of even 20 years ago to modern-day Christian living, what a backsliding we see. What is there for the days ahead? Where is all this leading evangelical Christianity today? An acceptance of even more of man's views as contrary to the Word of God. Oh yes. Lying, language, dress, dealing with our fellow man, places of the worldly entertainment, the picture house, social drinking, sex before marriage, all is acceptable today, even creeping amongst God's children. How about you and I? Are we like Lot? Have we started out well, and looking back, we see the gradual change in our stand? Oh, let us this morning get back to the old paths. Jeremiah 6:16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Now, it's not an awful thing for people who were God's people to turn round and say to God, you want us to walk on the old path, but we won't. And you know, that's what's happening today. There are many of God's people, and their conscience pricks them, and they know what the old ways are. But when God says, come back to the old path, they say, we will not. The early Presbyterians would not have polished the shoes or prepared the dinner on the Sabbath day. All would have been done on the Saturday night. Even in my grandmother's time, she on a farm, she would have prepared all for the Sabbath day, and there would have been nothing done on that farm except the milking and the feeding of the animals. If the old Presbyterians owed a debt, they would not have settled until it was paid in full. You know, that came to me recently. I was thinking of Christmas. I remember working in a place and we sold toys. And this old lady, maybe in her 80s, and she had been paying off a doll for some child. And it came to Christmas Eve and she was to collect it and there was money to be paid on it. And the snow came on. Now, people hope for snow. But that year, there was snow. And nobody could hardly move. And we were going through the toys. And who hadn't lifted and got. And the boss, he sent this old lady. She lived in the Rats Pad in Omagh, the bottom of Castle Street. In an old, broken down house. And he sent a van out with this for her because he knew she'd be all right. You know, after Christmas, he said that at 9 o'clock that night, the rap came to his door. And that old lady was standing there in 6 or 8 inches of snow. He says, what are you doing out now? She says, I owe you money and I wouldn't sleep in my bed to have it paid. That was an old Roman Catholic woman. And you know, the Presbyterians, that was their standard. Their neighbor could have depended on them for help at any hour of the day or night. If there was a need, they were there. Their word was their bond. You could have believed what they said they would do, that they would carry it through. They hated sin and evil, and they loved God with all their heart. They fulfilled the command of Jesus to the best of their ability. In Luke 10:27, and he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, thy neighbor as thyself. This was Job's testimony. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. He hated evil. Rules for today. Someone sent me one time a few years back. I have it up, a little frame, or a little done out like a little picture frame. Do nothing that you would not like to be doing when Jesus comes. Go to no place where you would not like to be found when Jesus comes. Say nothing that you would not like to be saying when Jesus comes. If you are like Lot, walking afar off, then it is time to get back to walking with God. Lot, of course, lost all, lost his wife, and he disappears from the pages of Scripture as if he didn't exist. The latter part of his life, there is nothing. Lot and his walk with God. But then there's Jonah and his walk with God. The man who disobeyed God's command and decided to go his own way. In Jonah chapter 1 we read, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and he went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." How foolish that Jonah could decide to flee from the presence of the Lord. God says, "Go and do this for me." And Jonah said, "I'm not going." And instead of that, he turned and he headed away. And he tried to flee from God. But what does the psalmist say? "Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell or the grave, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall my hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee." Jonah tried to run from God's command. Now we all know that how God followed Jonah and cast him into the belly of a fish before he would go God's way. Jonah 2 and 9, "But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach it unto it the preaching that I bid thee." And so Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of God. You see, God had to deal with Jonah until Jonah went God's way. And sometimes we think we can do what we like, live as we like, and there's no consequences, but that's not what the Bible teaches. Maybe God has put his finger on something in your life that he wants you to do. Something to put right between you and God. Or between you and your fellow man. And you've been rebelling and going your own way. Beware lest God follows you like Jonah and brings sore judgment before you obey. Jonah had to be taken into the depths of the sea before he would go God's way. Now this was a servant of God. And why do we live in disobedience to God? We cannot expect answers to our prayers. When we approach the throne of grace and expect answers to our prayers, they will not happen until we get right with God and go God's way. You see, obedience to God and his commandments is the only way forward. To obey, the Bible says, is better than sacrifice. Matthew 5 tells us, "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hast aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." We need, in these days, to be obedient to the commands of God. What is God asking you or has been asking you to do in the past year? What has he been asking you to put out of your life? What has he been asking you to do to set your life in order? And you've been saying, "I won't do it." I remember an elder in one of our churches telling me that he had taken an awful pain. And they couldn't find out what was wrong with him. And he was admitted to hospital. And he said there, after a few days lying on my back looking up, he says, I knew what was wrong. God had been speaking to me about something in my life. Though he didn't tell me what it was. And he said, I wouldn't go God's way and do what God wanted me to do and give up this particular sin. And he said, there on the bed, he said, God confronted me again with it. He said, I bowed my head and I wept. And I asked God to forgive me. And he said, from that day I decided not to do what I was doing, which was sinning against God. And he said the pain disappeared after a few hours. And he said that's a couple of years ago and I've never had it since. You see, God brings people like you and I that are his children sometimes to a point where we have to come to repentance. That we will go God's way. You see, God is no fool. That we can do whatever we like and live as we like and expect the blessing of God upon us. Lot and his walk with God. Oh, he started off well and then he went down and went away from God and ended up among the Sodomites. Jonah, he would not obey God's command and God had to teach him a lesson in a fish. In the bottom of the ocean before he would go God's way. But then lastly we want to look at Peter and his walk with God. The Lord Jesus called Peter personally when he was God manifest in the flesh. What a privilege was Peter's to see Jesus in the flesh. What must it not have been to sit at the feet of Jesus and be taught by the King of Kings? It must have been a wonderful experience to be able to do that. Matthew 4:18, and Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. For the years of our Lord's ministry, Peter was there to stand by Jesus. He lived in his presence day by day. And for all those years of Christ's ministry on earth, Peter was there as one of his right-hand men. But then we see Peter's pride. You see, in Matthew 26, Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. You see, here was a man who thought he could live as close to the Lord and never fall. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow thou shalt deny me thrice. Now we're talking about Peter, one of the disciples. And Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also all the disciples. What pride. Oh yes, they were going to stand by Jesus to the very last. They would never fall. Of course, Proverbs 16:18 tells us pride goeth before destruction and an haughty spirit before a fall. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. In a short time, Peter fell miserably and he denied the Lord. And you know that in Matthew 26:74 would break anyone's heart. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. Here was a man who was living a holy life in the very presence of the Lord Jesus. And he was so much taken up by pride, that suddenly he fell. The cock crew. What happened? Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. You see, the Spirit of God struck the heart and conscience of Peter. And he went out and he wept. What a difference when he was forgiven. He was cleansed. They received the mercy of God. And what a difference was in the day of Pentecost. Healed, restored, full of the Holy Spirit. Full of holy boldness that continued to the end of his life. You see, now Peter was bold in the Lord. The Holy Spirit was in control. And what a tremendous work he did for the Lord. In those days, the early days of the church. Thank God for repentance when the backslider realizes their sin and returns in sorrow to Jesus for mercy and for forgiveness. I want to ask you this morning, has the cock crowed for you over the past year? Now I want you to think, nobody can answer that but you. Has the cock crowed? Has God's Holy Spirit put his finger on something in your life that you ought not to be doing as a Christian? And you've ignored it even up to this day, nearly the end of the year. How has your walk today with God? I ask you this morning, be like Peter. Repent. And seek forgiveness and live for Jesus in these dark days of sin. You see, too many today blame everybody else for their sin. And the first person they blame is the devil. Oh, it's not me, it's the devil. You know, the devil tempts you. God gives you a way of escape and you don't take it, or I don't take it, and what happens? We fall. There's never the devil's fault. Yes, he brings the temptation, but God always gives you and I as a Christian a way of escape. But we do not take it, and we need to come as a Christian with repentance and crying unto God to forgive us and how sorry we are for falling. And you know that God says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you know that's the wonder of God's salvation. When we fall, he lifts us up. When we repent, he restores us. But of course, repentance isn't just being sorry. You know, there's half the drunkards in the town of Enniskillen last night would be sorry for being drunkards and alcoholics. But they don't turn from it. There's no repentance. I haven't talked to drunkards and they've said to me, but you know, Ronnie, I have broke my mother's heart. I have broke my father's heart. I have cost them a fortune. And I've said, but have you confessed your sin to God? And their eyes went the other way. You see, they didn't want to turn from their sin. And until you and I are prepared, like Peter, to go out and to weep bitterly and turn from our sin, we are never going to know the blessing of God in our life. You and I want to walk in the year that we're about to enter for God. We want to do better in 2013 than we have done in 2012. We need to go through with God and walk with God. We could talk of Enoch. who walked with God. David, a man after God's own heart. Moses, Abraham, Joshua, Paul, Barnabas, the host of others who walked with God. But you know, most important is our own walk with God and the place where God has placed us. You see, you and I will not be asked what the person sitting beside you in the seat has done in their walk for God. I'm not going to be asked what you did. I'm going to be asked what Ronnie McLean did. And I have enough bother looking after Ronnie McLean than to try to look after somebody else. But thank God we have a loving Savior. One who knows our frailty. One who is willing to lift us up when we fall down. Willing to restore us from our backsliding. Willing to forgive us when we repent of not being obedient to His call. And even in Lot's case, saved Lot, even though he lost his wife, and him living where he shouldn't have been living. And you know, if things go on in this country as they're going, we'll soon be as bad as living in Sodom and Gomorrah. And if the Prime Minister has his way, he'll make it worse. And we need to be praying against David Cameron and his cohorts in Westminster that God will step in and stop the foolishness, because the judgment of God will be brought upon this country if they go ahead and legalize marriages between two males or two females. We're living in days when we need to be on our knees and praying specifically against the government and the laws that they are going to bring in when they go against the laws of God and that which God has condemned. Oh, let us in these days remember and look back how we lived in 2012, how our walk was with God. But let us repent and let us seek to walk in 2013 with God and seek to live for Him and show forth His beauty in our lives day by day. May the Lord bless this word to our hearts. Let's